Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Well, welcome to the Egg Chasers podcast. This is a podcast made by rugby fans for rugby fans, not taking ourselves or the game too seriously, leaving the pundits to do the punditry, the analysts to do the analysing. We just love the game of rugby. And let's introduce the team firstly. We have got professional, in inverted commas, because it is Sedgley Park. What level's that you're at now, Phil?
National to North it is now.
Still pretty good. Still pretty tidy.
Still on the way down, though.
We have got Angry Welshman Jay.
Thanks, boss. Thanks for having me.
And we've got rugby league convert Blake.
Good to be back.
And I'm Tim. Well, let's have a look at the state of the union this week. The first story involves Leicester's Dan Cole, who was accused and then cleared of biting Ignacio Mires, the Worcester Warriors fly half, but not before drawing blood. It was apparently an accident during the game. But I think we should jump to Dan Cole's defence, because I think he's only embodying the spirit of the Tigers and what they stand for. He was literally being a Tiger. And I reckon more people need to show the same level of commitment playing for their team. So question for you, gents. If other teams were to live up to their nickname, could we do?
I think, didn't Danny Kerr actually do that for a few years? Harlequins are jesters. So he demonstrated yeah. those attributes for at least a couple of years off the pitch.
Sometimes I watch Danny Cipriani play and I think that actually does look like a shark on dry land.
Well, when you said about this, I thought, well, instead of going down who should play like the namesake, who shouldn't play like namesake? So I found some names. I mean, obviously you've got teams in the NRL where these nicknames kind of started, and you've got Parramatta Eels. Why would you want to be an eel?
Strikes then, fear into the opposition, that, doesn't it?
Like an eel on land. And then roosters, I would like to see on the rugby pitch.
Chicks.
Chicks.
Chicks dig roosters, that's a fact.
all the animals seem to be split into two categories. There's the predators, the sharks, the lions, the tigers, cheetahs, falcons.
And then the prey animal.
And the prey. Springbok, wallaby.
Yeah, I might start up a club called Manchester Nutritious Grassland then.
Well, I think the Americans have got us all beat here. I found some college football teams. The Scottsdale Community College of Fighting Artichokes. Genuine genuine American
really?
Football team.
I like the vision of Rob Baxter before Exeter Chiefs matches doing a pre-match talk that involves a powwow and a ceremonial passing of a pipe. Maybe for every big smash in a match, you get another feather.
I was actually about to ask if you were serious then. I can't believe that.
Well, everyone going into King's Home should be issued with a workbench and some screws and a rake when they go into the shed.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Sorry. sorry.
How bad?
Oh, the wreck. You should only have to be smashed to go in.
Stoop. Oh, the stoop.
Stoop.
Yeah, there's like a
very low gates.
Yeah,
really. Very low gates.
Well, it's the first weekend in England, at least, for the new scrum laws. And you've watched some of the games, and some of us amongst us have played in games at lower level. So I want to know, what do you make of the new scrum laws?
Jay, what do you think? As a prop, a converted prop.
As a prop, indeed.
Did you prop at the weekend?
I played tight end, yeah.
Is that every single position on a rugby field you've played at first-team level?
No, I have not played at first-team level hooker.
Surely scrum half as well, with your hands.
Fly half. Well, easy.
What was it like?
For me, it was easier. Not to get too boring and technical, but it makes it, well, less technical. You manage to engage and you can set your feet and then you can push. It turns it into like a squatting contest rather than an actual scrimmage.
It appears better. Because the worst thing about the old laws was the impact, and it seemed to create a lot of instability.
Yeah.
And this is just taking that out of it.
It's never happened to me because I don't hit very hard and don't push very hard. But apparently that was the reason that they had to reset, because they were hitting so hard and bouncing
yeah,
out.
And not so. Getting a proper engagement because they were trying to hit too hard.
Yeah, I can't see it really being a bad thing.
I think at the end of the day, the reason you play a sport, you can say, it's to get fit or anything like that.
Just before we start, this is a rugby league person talking about scrummaging. Oh. carry on, Blake.
Yeah, I'm going to make a rugby league point. Is it spectator sport, and watching a scrum collapse 16 times a game is not what it's about. I reckon it's great insight from the RFU to change the law there, get rid of a 3-point penalty, and then we're on to a winner, I reckon.
Agreed. You want to see people running expansive rugby ball in hand. You don't want to see, like, the last 5-6 nations, they've been 4 or 5 minutes at a time of reset scrum.
I quite like it. Let's just do it.
Having watched pretty much all the rugby that there was over the weekend, it's still an element of a lottery. I think it'll settle down, but some of the referees, you just think, might as well turn up with a magic eight ball.
Yeah.
Well, this is a completely abstract concept to me, I've got to say.
I think on that one we'll move on. And BT Sport, now they've bedded in a little while, so what do we make of their coverage, maybe compared to what Sky Sports were offering for the Aviva Premiership? What do you reckon?
Okay, so are you asking, do I prefer the multi-million pound setup of BT Sport or the £5 haircut of Stuart Barnes? Is that what you're asking?
Even with the It's a Knockout, Austin Healey, Matt Dawson little matchup,
like
you quite like that?
It seems very well thought through.
They had the social media hub in the BT spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was a bit unnecessary.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. I think they've taken a lot of cues from, like, American sport, and that can only be a good thing.
Trying to get the masses involved.
Yeah.
But I don't care what the masses think, to be honest. I don't. That's the worst thing about it. So when it's like when...
It's on rugby league, I guess.
exactly. But when on the news, for the point of balance, they'll have a doctor there, and then they'll have Sue, who they pulled off the street. what do you think, Sue?
Well, I don't care
what Sue thinks.
Well, I think the smug factor has been turned up to 11 with Healy and Dawson, but I actually quite like the banter.
Bayfield's
he's brilliant. Ben Kay.
There's a few good guys.
They're good. One of the interesting things is quite funny. There's a bit of an advertisement for BT, obviously their broadband service. They got Mark Cueto live via Skype in the studio trying to interview him, and the interview continually broke up until it eventually cut out 2 minutes into it. Demonstrating the quality of BT broadband.
I would love Skype to sue.
That was the State of the Union on the Egg Chasers podcast. So what do you make of that then? BT Sport versus Sky and their coverage of the Premiership, the new scrum laws, Dan Cole, the Tiger, living up to his nickname, and how other players and teams could do it. If you have anything to say on any of those topics or anything else you hear, at Rugby Podcast is our Twitter account. We'd love to have you following and contacting us. And eggchasers.com, where there's loads more guff that you can get involved with and could be featured on the next Egg Chasers podcast, where now it's time for the Rucked Up interview. I find one of the superstars of our game, Gavin Henson, today, and have a bit of a natter with him. But before I do, just this little legal message, JB.
Yeah, I just need to read the following warning. This isn't real.
It's Rucked Up, man!
Well, welcome to the very first, the inaugural Rucked Up interview. So I'm delighted, and thank you very much for being here. Gavin Henson.
This is an unbelievable opportunity for me, and I couldn't pass on it.
Thanks. Well, it's good to have you here. Now, I want to get into your psyche. What are you doing immediately before kickoff in the changing room?
Oh, it obviously involves fake tan. I moisturise, I do my hair.
Gavin, I did hear a story of you mixing up the Vaseline tub with your hair wax.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I do have nightmares about it. Yeah, it was frightening.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, your image is important to you. You're a ladies man. But I've got to ask you, Gavin, if there was one man that could make you turn, who is that man?
Johnny Wilkinson. You know, hopefully that's going to be an amazing sort of combination, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Why Johnny?
Body felt great.
Fair enough, Gavin. Right, quick fire question time for you then. And first question, Gavin, what's your date of birth?
Oh, crikey, I don't know now. I can't remember.
Okay, I'll go for something a bit easier. What's your favourite vegetable?
The carrot.
Should have known that. It's orange. How many women have you got on the go at the moment?
12.
That's going to keep you busy. And tell me, what does it feel like to be punched by a teammate in a crowded bar?
I love it. It's amazing.
What, is that because of all the media attention you got afterwards?
Yeah.
Gavin Henson, thank you very much for joining me and being my first guest on the Rucked Up interview. What do you make of the podcast so far?
It's great if it's like that all the time.
It's Rucked Up, man!
Gavin Henson there, an insightful chat, I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, you really got him to open up there.
So what do you make of Gavin Henson's move to Bath Rugby? A silly move of Golden, Booth or Inspired? What are we going to be saying at the end of the season, do you reckon?
Good move for him to get paid a lot of money to sit on the bench for...
You said it's a good move, but he's already been dropped once.
Oh, slow on the uptake there.
Thank you.
A pantomime villain, but I think he's genuinely serious. He wants to get back in the Welsh team. As a Welshman, would you?
I think he's genuinely serious about paying his bills after splitting up with Charlotte Church. That's what I would say he's genuinely serious about doing, but I don't know the guy.
And two or three more years of rugby. Wants to try and...
What is he, like 30?
31? 31, something like that.
God.
I'll give it to him. He doesn't look it. whatever he's been doing has been working.
Well, we'll leave Gavin Henson to one side because there is a very important job for us to do, gentlemen. Now, whereas every other podcast and every other newspaper and rugby publication and website is reviewing the chances of the teams and has been reviewing the chances of the teams in the Aviva Premiership over the next season, I want us to simply review the stash because every single rugby player knows how important the stash is. That feeling, it's like Christmas Day, isn't it, when the new bag of kit comes?
Yeah, when you get the new kit.
How it smells.
Opening those wrappers.
And that disappointment when the coach tells you that Macron are making your kit for next season. So, come on then, you've seen all the teams play. Which team, purely on kit alone, would you have as champions of the Premiership?
Well, for me,
and who would you have relegated?
For me, going into the autumn-winter season... I know that the greens are very much in this year. So two best kits for me are the traditional Leicester kit and the slightly more futuristic, more modern London Irish kit.
Ugh. Rugby league-esque Irish kit.
ISC. It's fantastic.
Same design as St Helens.
It's good gear, the ISC gear.
Oh, it's really good.
I agree with you, the first one. The Leicester kit is spectacular.
I love the Leicester
kit. It's like racing green, you get dressed, you look like an E-type drag. And it's like a really nice little thing. They've got the letters. So not just the numbers, the letters too. The Wasps kit was surprising. I quite like that. But just revisit the London Irish kit. From what I hear about London Irish's financial situation, it probably is old St Helens kit.
Well, I'm a big fan of, and not because I'm gainfully employed at times by them, but I'm a big fan of Sail Sharks kit.
Samurai, the new gear.
Samurai, doing some good clobber.
Ooh. Yeah, very nice.
Shark fin motif and the nickname Sharks is
just
completely appropriate for a landlocked country, club 40 miles from the Irish Sea.
I would have to go for the best kit with Harlequins, purely for the point that we did the section on names, and I thought, why would anyone ever call themselves Harlequins? So I did a bit of research. It turns out that it's way back when they used to be called Hampstead, and then for legal reasons they need to change the name, but it still needs to be a H. So one day all the committee got together over a few beers, got a dictionary out, and went down till they got to Harlequins, went, yeah, Harlequins sounds pretty good, let's stick with that. That was 140 years ago, and they've stuck with it, and I'm proud of them for sticking with it, because it's ridiculous, and I think every year's the same, every year's ridiculous, and thank you.
Well put.
Strong case.
I say worst kit, Gloucester.
Yeah.
What?
It's horrible.
Oh, no, you're right.
Cougar.
Actually, it's horrendous.
I also found the Gloucester kit. I think it's awful. There's a picture of Freddie Burns wearing it. He looks like a 12-year-old schoolgirl in a dad's kit. My champions, probably a toss-up between Leicester and London Irish. I'd split it down the middle.
Wow.
And Worcester's the worst. It's bland and boring and...
Next on our agenda is the Egg Chasers Dream Team. Now, this is a dream team because it's a topic that we've dreamed up, and we're going to try and fill 15 places in the team, which today is going to be the Nightmare 15. So we're looking for the team that is the biggest liability, the most likely to get into trouble on and off the field, a coach's nightmare. Let's pick our 15. Where should we start?
Front row.
Props.
Matt Stevens, good case for him being included.
Why would that be, Phil?
For legal reasons, I don't think I can remember.
He is looking massive, like good weight and bad weight. His head is enormous.
Head is, enormous, isn't it?
Is there a bigger head in world rugby?
Jamie Roberts. That is an enormous head.
Jamie Roberts and Paul O'Connell. Paul O'Connell's
at least
huge.
Jamie Roberts' head is in proportion to his body.
But that, I think that could be a future Dream 15.
Yes,
it's
we
a huge head
aside.
15. So yeah, let's move off.
But Matt Stevens, due to past form, which we won't go into, yes, makes the 15. Anyone else in the front row?
Kevin Yates.
Ooh, ear biter.
Yeah, ear biter. Was he Bath and Sharks?
Bath Sharks, former England.
And Waikato for a little while. Hook of Dylan Hartley.
Yeah.
Oh, not so much hard work, like media hard work, but the man that could never, ever lose weight, Darren Morris. King Eater. I mean, that must be difficult.
He was a big man.
He was
nice. He was a big man. Right, so front row sorted out, into the locks. An enforcer or two that would be a coach's nightmare.
I just wouldn't like to tell Danny Grucock what to do. I mean, that would be a nightmare in its, you know, in its own right.
He was a phenomenal specimen in his day, wasn't he?
Glorious.
Jamie Cudmore as well is a...
Oh, Jamie.
Well, he's got a checkered past, hasn't he?
Yeah, checkered past on and off the field. Not only does he consistently get in fights on the field, but when he was 16, growing up in Canada, he was an enforcer for a local drug lord, which surely's got to put him up there for the nightmare 15.
Into the back row, then. I'm going to jump straight in there with Andy Powell. It was police that pulled him over on the M4.
I think of the weekend. Yeah.
In a golf buggy, going the wrong way, whilst over the limit.
You've always got a story topper friend. I'd love to have Powell round when this happened. Like, oh, this one time I got so drunk I woke up in a skip. And that's nothing, mate. I was going down the wrong side of the M4 in a golf cart.
Drunk on international weekend after beating such and such.
Yeah.
I think that story actually is an indictment of the terrible society which we live in now. Because it was immediately reported all over social media. Well, actually, back in the day, what really would have happened is the police would have pulled him over. And, are you Andy Powell? Good lad. Good win. Off you go. Might have even given him a lift or maybe a tow. But not anymore.
Other back row.
What position was Trevor Brennan?
According to Gareth Thomas, he's the dirtiest player that he's ever played with, and he's played with quite a few players. So
playing against Ulster with Toulouse, and he leapt into the stands, which was housing the Ulster fans, and repeatedly struck a guy in the face who he claimed had basically abused his mum. As you mentioned,
his mum.
he was banned for life.
And then retired.
Yeah.
Jerry Collins. Enforcer on the field, but...
Legend.
All black legend, but... Last year, got stopped in a Japanese... Because he's playing in Japan. Got stopped in a Japanese department store carrying a 19-inch knife.
You need to look up, because Tim's just tapping away on the computer. Yeah, yeah. Look up Bernard Cholley. He was picked up to play for, I think, Perpignan, based on his performance in a bar fight where the Perpignan president was actually present. Ex-French para.
He was an army boxing champion.
That's
and a spud farmer. And he laid out four Scots in one game, and on another, when one of his team was beaten up in a match in South Africa playing for France, he punched out three Western Province players. When Gary Knight made his All Black debut in 1977, Cholley eye-gouged his opponent and tore his eyelid. That's behaviour that cannot be condoned. And in the same year, before a test match against Ireland at Lansdowne Road, Cholley punched the ceiling in the changing room so hard, he actually put his fist through the timber. His hand swelled to the size of a small melon, but he still took the field, and France won 15-6.
Wow.
That's a brilliant shout, Jay. Well played.
There's also a French flanker who died playing Russian roulette. Look him up.
I think we'll leave that one.
Yeah, leave the back row. Yeah.
At number nine, there's going to be some contenders here, isn't there?
Piri Weepu.
What's he ever done? Piri, World Cup winner?
Straight after the World Cup, reported for training, 15 kilograms overweight.
After doing
nothing for 3 months but drinking and eating.
Wow. We've all known a player that's come back after pre-season with serious pies.
Yeah, that's the best part of 3 stone. That's a lot overweight.
And 10, we've got our man. Where do we start? Cipriani, Cooper.
Oh, Cipriani. Henson. Do you start?
Is that our midfield axis right there?
Oh, how about Barkley? But you got to have a bit of Barkley in there. Curtly Beale, or would you keep him at fullback? Too much of a precious asset to the team?
Keep him at fullback. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the centre, there's a few more.
Oh yeah. I think the recent convert. Sonny Beale Williams. He's converted religions. He's converted. He's converted from sports, and he just doesn't feel like he. I don't think he needs to be there. Not only is does he want? Oh, well, I want to box this week. What do you want to do this week, Sonny? I don't know. I'll try darts. See if I can become the New Zealand champion for that. And but not only that, he just seems like a really dull guy. He doesn't drink.
Contrasting from his early rugby league days, where he was a bit of a boozer and got in a few fights. And I mean,
all right, but in Sonny Bill's defence, he doesn't seem interested, and he constantly wants a new challenge. I'll go with that. But at least he's honest. Look at Matthew Bastereau.
Yeah.
And the lies that he told during it was when they were in New Zealand, wasn't it?
Yeah.
CCTV footage showed that he was in a fight. And what did he say?
Oh, no.
He said he'd mistakenly drunk. He said he'd fallen over in his hotel room.
Wasn't it the other way around?
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
CCTV footage showed nothing. He returned to training with cuts and bruises all over his face and said that he was in a fight on a night out, got picked on by a few New Zealanders, but he actually was hammered and fell over in his hotel room.
In my mind, that
is infinitely worse.
In my mind, that speaks wonders for the French team, which is you better come back with a good drinking story. If you come back here with some abstract injury, not interested.
And is it Kirtley Beale at fullback? Oh, one of wingers. Wingers and fullback, back three.
Well, yeah, there's a few wingers. The two Ilagis who have yet to be mentioned could put someone forward for most positions. Alessano'd been in numerous fights on the wing, but Zach Guilford has had a lot of problems with booze. Most famously, shortly after the World Cup, there was a wedding on one of the Cook Islands that he wasn't invited to, but he turned up halfway through the evening do, naked, bleeding, blind drunk, and tried to attack some of the guests. So I think.
What about Wendell Saylor?
Yes.
And also,
wow.
Cocaine and booze?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
And also, he was that hard, no one ever told him that Wendell Saylor was a camp name. So, like, that's pretty tough.
And then, Kirtley Beale at fullback to round it off.
Oh, nice. That's a pretty badass 15, gentlemen. Well played. Right then, we've heard from Gavin Henson already on the Egg Chasers podcast, but now it's time to hear from Scott Quinnell, his fellow countryman, on who he thinks wore the number 8 shirt best out of everyone that's ever worn it. Of all the players ever to pull on a number 8 shirt in world rugby, who wore it best? I'm sure many people would say you, but I know you're a humble man. So who was the great 8? And instantly that sprung to my mind was a couple of Kiwis, Zinzan Brooks and Wayne Shelford, and Lawrence Dallaglio, one of your reversaries for many years, and Pat Lamb, guys like that.
Well, if I don't say my father, I won't get my pocket money on the weekend. And if I don't say Merv the Swerve Davis, then, you know, I'd never live it down. But apart from that, let's take the Welsh guys out.
Yeah, obviously. That goes without saying. That's one, two, and yourself obviously at three. But who's four?
My absolute idol was Buck Shelford, you know, and it was absolutely incredible to watch him play in 89 when the New Zealand side came over to Llanelli, and we I think it was 6-3 at half time, and it was an absolute gale. We turned up, we thought we've got this, we've absolutely got it, and then we didn't see the ball for 40 minutes in that second half, and they beat us down in Stradi, and he just shoved the ball up his jumper and said, right, if you want to come again, it off me, and
just 15 a hard man,
always tried to get. I tell you what, he was absolutely incredible. One of the great number 8s. But as well, I've got to say, you mentioned him, Zinzan Brook, you know, and every time I meet him, he doesn't stop going on about that drop goal in the World Cup, and it's wonderful because when I'm with Will Carlin, he does not stop ribbing him. It's absolutely fantastic. So those two guys, they were pretty special.
Thanks ever so much for your time, Scott Quinnell.
Thank you very much, Tim. Cheers, boys.
There you go. Scott Quinnell picking Wayne Shelford and Zinzan Brook as the best two number 8s ever to have worn the shirt. What do we make of that then, boys? Is there anyone else you would want to put forward?
It pains me to say it, but from watching rugby in my time, no one really has done more than Lawrence Dallaglio.
I thought he wasn't an 8, Jay.
What's this?
Okay, well, I've got a theory. No, it's not a theory, it's a fact. He didn't start off as an 8. He was a 6 and played a lot of games for Wasps as 6. And when England picked their holy trinity back row, they picked 2 7s and a 6 and then merged them into 7-6-8, which is what we had at the end.
And he only won a World Cup in a number 8 shirt, He won a Lions series in a number six shirt, didn't he?
Thank you very much.
Who was the eight in that back row in the Tim Rodber.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
But he won a World Cup in a number eight shirt. He won the European Cup at least once.
Did he win it twice?
Twice, I think, in a number eight shirt.
I think it's a testament to exactly how good he was.
it's a fair shout. There you go, lol. One for you. Any more?
I would say Pierre Spiess, just because on paper this guy was a freak. He should have been the best eight that ever touched the game.
Still could be.
Yeah. Well, he's getting on a bit. I mean, my first experience with him was on my Xbox game, and I was playing South Africa, and I look at his stats, and I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah, speed 20, power 20,
everything
hands
at 20,
two. Hands 2,
aggression 1. Unfortunately for him, I'd go for current All Black and underrated number 8, Kieran Reid.
That's the best ever.
I think he's
fantastic. That was a World Cup winner.
Did anyone see? The try the weekend against Argentina that he set up, picked off the base of a scrum, and took in two Argentinian defenders, and hooked the ball round the back of one of them for the 9 Smith coming round to dive into the corner.
Wow.
Fantastic try.
I'm going to throw one more into the mix, and I think I would have probably gone with Wayne Shelford myself, but someone who definitely deserves a mention, Sergio Parisse.
Yeah.
In a losing team, generally, to be that influential and that good, I think he would have, particularly a few years ago, walked into any side in international rugby and been the star.
Just listen to me. Parisse, he is Argentine, right?
I think his father was Italian, but he was born because his father was playing rugby in Argentina. So he's Italian heritage, but was born there. Yeah, as opposed to Castro Giovanni, who is, I think, a full-blown Argentinian.
Is he?
But has played.
I bet they're
Italy.
Both rearing that decision now.
What's the link between Italy and Argentina? Because there's a load of players that have done that.
Yeah. Not very good at fighting wars.
I think we'll leave that there. Now we come to, and I'm very excited about this. Now you've just heard a classic line from him there, but JB, our angry Welshman, has an encyclopedic knowledge of rugby.
Appreciate that.
But you're about to drop a knowledge bomb. Well, more of a knowledge carpet bomb by the sound of that, but fair enough, we'll go with it. Right then, what have you got to tell us about? Educate us.
Who's familiar with sail sharks?
Very familiar.
Okay, can anyone give me the name of the sail A team?
The Jets.
The Jets. Right. I hate them.
What have you got against the Jets?
I may have trifled down there. It didn't end well, let's put it that way, and I don't know who's listening.
The Jets missed out big time, basically. Big time.
Dear, their loss, Blake, their loss.
Always.
So come on then.
Has anyone got any idea behind the name the Sharks and the Jets? Why would they be so called the Sharks and the Jets?
I don't know, it sounds a lot
Jets.
Like West Side Story, but I'm sure you're going to tell me more.
Thank you, Blake. It is indeed West Side Story.
No, that's not real.
That is actually real. What happened is they... is they needed a name for the club. They had two teams, and a player's wife said, well, what about West Side Story? They're two opposing gangs. And then they became the Sharks and the Jets, which I think is the most pathetic story in rugby history. So,
is that real?
That is genuinely real.
I knew that because Jade told me.
Okay, then, now on the Egg Chasers podcast, it's time to find out those items in rugby and out of rugby that we would want to kick into touch, metaphorically speaking. Every rugby club has got a man and his dog by the side of the pitch. And that dog for the Egg Chasers podcast is JB's dog, Rudy. And we're going to find out what's made Rudy sad this week. Yeah. Rudy gets sad about stuff in and out of rugby. The first thing that's making Rudy sad, I'm going to propose, is it's quite simple. Andy Goode's hair.
Wow.
Quite simple.
That makes me, have you seen it? Makes it? Me sad.
If you started to recede, surely it's an unwritten rule. You just shave it off.
Yeah.
You accept the fact you're losing your hair. He's one step away from a roadie for AC/DC's. Yeah, made Rudy very sad. And one thing out of rugby that I'm going to put forward is that time when you're a driver and you come up to a pedestrian crossing and there's a pedestrian, and they hit the button and then cross because there's no cars, meaning that when you stop, you're stopped and there's no one crossing the road.
Selfish.
Yeah. Just go.
You'd condone.
I would put my life on the line.
JB's condoning driving through
a red
light.
A red light, and I do this all the time, so I can guarantee it's 100% safe. I recommend all new drivers should start early so they get used to it. Actually, if you see a red light and it's clear both ways, go. Just go.
Yeah.
Well, good sound advice to learn a driver's trick.
I'm on the pedestrian side of this argument, being
a poor
student.
Well, there's no pedestrians there, so there is no pedestrian side.
No, I'm saying that you press the button and you see an opportunity, and it's like the rugby pitch. You see an opportunity, you've got to go for the opportunity.
Oh, look at that, bringing it back around to rugby. What a
stuff.
Wow. Here's an amazing thing that I learned today about zebra crossings and the buttons. Underneath, you know, the little box that you press the button and the green man comes on. Underneath, right, when the green man comes on, there's a little nodule thing that spins around so that people who are deaf and or blind can feel it and know that the green man is flashing.
So it'll spin round
until
it's clear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And also, the buttons don't work. That's the other thing as well.
Can we have the bomb sound effect?
Yeah, hold on. I want a knowledge bomb sound effect.
The buttons don't work all the time. Sometimes they just disable them.
I know that because you can tell. Because some traffic lights, it doesn't impact it at all. Like on busy roads. That makes sense.
Here we go.
What's going on?
There we go.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Well, one final segment on the Egg Chasers podcast this week is just highlighting the NFL season, which started on the very same weekend as the English Premiership and the English rugby season. And I think that there are egg-shaped ball cousins from the other side of the Atlantic. They deserve some mention. We can't just let Blake mention rugby league and the NRL constantly throughout the whole show. So the Egg Chasers USA, there's one story that I thought was worthy of mention, and that is the fact that Nigel Melville, the former Gloucester and England scrum half, has tried to take Tim Tebow, who is basically the Gavin Henson of American football, and is trying to take him to rugby union.
I'm pretty sure Tebow's next stop is going to be the House of Representatives. I just have that feeling that his next thing is being a politician.
But I wonder, just a very, very quick one then to round it off, which rugby players could make the transition to the NFL best of all?
Kickers, 100%. There's people who have had offers, and they seem to have big issues with kicking a ball directly in front of the sticks. And I reckon that we have some good kickers go over there once you're retired.
Andy Goode, his hair would be hidden by a helmet, so that'd be a bonus. I'll go with that. I've got one. Gethin Jenkins, right? He could be an offensive lineman or something because they only play 16 games a season if they're lucky. And that's pretty much Gethin at the minute, isn't it?
Does that mean I could do that as well?
Yeah.
That's about my limit for a season.
Apparently, the New York Jets have an office in Australia for various talent reasons. And one of the guys that they were linked with was Greg Inglis.
Yeah.
That's one. And they've also got on the roster, because it's American, not rota, roster for last year, a South African tight end who was converted second row from rugby. So it has been done.
Wow.
There's also, I can't remember his last name, Hayden Smith.
Saracens.
Hayden Smith.
He played
for Saracens.
Yeah.
He was Australian, and he played for the Australian basketball team, or tried for the Australian basketball team, moved to America to play college basketball, then started playing rugby somewhere in between, got a contract with Saracens, and then went back to America, and he was in the New York Jets, the wider training squad, at least. I don't know if he actually made it up there.
Maybe it's him, then. Maybe it's him.
Because he was a second row.
No, that's a perfect example of someone who has too much talent to succeed.
He's
so good at everything, he just can't nail one down.
I'm guessing Sonny Bill could play somewhere. Do something, couldn't he? And probably win a Super Bowl or two. Retire.
Do you not think that's the one thing, when I watch NFL, I go, offload.
Yeah.
If anyone would risk an offload and bring that from rugby into American football.
Having played the sport, and as JV has as well, it's impossible. I caught the ball like a rugby ball. Everyone went crazy on me. They keep it in tight and everything. You run when you got the ball. You do not even look anywhere.
The other thing which I find fascinating about it is, like, you've got rugby and American football. There's a lot of similar actions, but they've developed in two different ways. So the same thing has two different names. Handoff, or in American football, stiff arm. Sidestep, juke.
Nice. Stiff arm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Stiff arm him.
I think we should end on stiff arm.
Football boots. Cleats.
Cleats.
De-cleated.
That doesn't even make sense.
Stiff arm. Stiff arm is where we're finishing the very first Egg Chasers podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Subscribe on iTunes and we will deliver it to you every single episode. And get to eggchasers.com to continue the rugby chat. And we're also on Twitter as well, at Rugby Podcast. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Blake.
Thanks.
Nice one, Phil.
Thank you.
Stiff arm.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.